And good morning. You're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. Today is Monday, July 27th, 2015. I'm Emily Kwong. And our morning interview guests, we recorded an interview with them on July 17th. So this interview took place at that time, all about a telemedicine group that is trying to move knowledge between doctors so patients have to move around less. So first up, Dr. Ebert Vega. He's a family medicine doctor at Southeast Alaska Regional Health Consortium. How are you doing today, Dr. Vega?
Good morning, Emily.
Good morning. And you have brought in a guest doctor who's not from Sitka, Dr. Brian Wood, a assistant professor at the University of Washington School of Medicine, specifically in the Division of Allergy and Infectious Disease. How are you doing, Dr. Wood?
I'm doing great. Thanks very much for having me.
Great. So you are the medical director of ECHO. What is ECHO and how does it work?
ECHO stands for Extension for Community Health Outcomes. It's an idea that was started by a physician at the University of New Mexico who was struggling to treat patients who had hepatitis C. The patients with hepatitis C were spread all over New Mexico in remote, isolated geographic regions. They weren't making it to the academic medical center to get their treatment. So he had this idea of maybe he could involve community practitioners, community providers from around the state, bring them all together via video conference, basically use new technology to bring them all together simultaneously once a week, and that way to support them in treating those individuals with hepatitis C. And it worked. And he did a large study showing it was just as effective as those patients traveling the many miles to get to the academic center. So what we at the University of Washington did is we sort of took that idea and modeled what they did. And so now we support a group of community providers from all over the Northwest, from across a 5-state region.
How many sites do you have?
There's about 25 sites spread across Alaska, Washington, Idaho, Oregon, and Montana. Mm-hmm. And what happens is once per week, providers like Dr. Vega, very busy providers who are, you know, sort of busy in their seeing patients, they carve out an hour of their time to join. They log in via video conference. We have some really cool new technology where everybody can be on video all at once. So we have a panel of specialists at the University of Washington. We sit in a conference room and we can see everybody who's on all at the same time, kind of like Brady Bunch squares or Hollywood squares. We see every site and every doctor all log on. It's the same group of people every week. And the goal really is to create a network of support. So the providers are connected to each other. They're connected in real time to the specialists at the university. And then we do a little bit of continuing education style didactic. We talk, we update, what's the latest research, what's the latest updates from a conference, what are the latest guidelines, and then we talk about the provider's own cases. If they have a challenging case, they'll bring it up and we all talk together about it, and that way everybody learns and everybody feels more supported. Program that I run that Dr. Vega is involved in supports providers treating individuals with HIV. We also have programs that support providers treating hepatitis C, chronic pain and addictions, multiple sclerosis, and several other medical domains. So it's really just a model for disseminating knowledge and sharing best practices to help providers care for individuals with chronic complex conditions.
Okay. And Dr. Vega, you're one of the squares in the Brady Bunch family. How has being a part of this, well, first, how long have you been a part of the ECHO group and as one of these providers calling in every week? How has it shaped your practice as a family medical doctor here?
Well, we figured out it's been about 6 months that I've been signing on.
Okay.
And it has really transformed and improved my practice in a number of ways. The first thing that it's helped is just in providing just the confidence in knowing that what I'm suggesting, what I'm offering the patient is really the most up-to-date, evidence-based recommendation that can be provided, that basically the kind of care that we're providing people here in Sitka who have HIV is basically similar to what they would be getting at a major academic center, because it's being done in consultation with providers over there. But it's sparing them the expense of having to travel down there multiple times a year. The second way in which I found it really helpful is just the support. So I feel sometimes in you know, a lot of us who practice HIV medicine might feel a little bit of social isolation in a sense, because we don't know other doctors or practitioners who are caring for patients with these really special needs and who in some cases are very, very sick. So when I log on and I hear a doctor from Montana or Idaho who lives in a small community, who is in a practicing in a rural hospital, who has maybe 5 or 6 or 10 patients similar to my panel, I can relate to that. And I feel like, you know, this is something that I can do. And there's this sort of peer-to-peer support that's occurring during that hour of education.
It's got to be really tough for new doctors, for old doctors. You leave medical school, this environment of ask me a question, tell me what you know, what you don't know, I'll answer it. And then you're perhaps in a rural hospital all by yourself. It sounds like this is trying to restore some of that community through the University of Washington being kind of the hub. But how does the telemedicine aspect work in terms of traveling? You know, a lot of doctors here, they have to refer patients out. Do you find that still happens when these types of systems such as Echo are being built?
Yeah, great question. So I think there are various forms of telemedicine. There's a lot of really amazing technology now that in some areas is being used to connect a doctor directly to a patient in a remote area. And so there are a lot of programs out there connecting doctors directly to patients using telemedicine. What we're doing is slightly different. What we're doing is we're using technology to connect providers to each other. And it's not only doctors. We're also connecting nurses, case managers, pharmacists. So we're connecting all of the care providers together once per week so that if they have a challenge in their clinic, they can talk about that, see what others have done to overcome that challenge. If they've had a particularly successful program in their clinic, maybe they'll share that and others may take that. So it's really creating this network for knowledge sharing and continuing education.
What are some examples of how you've seen this working in practice?
Well, I'll give two examples. One is very early on in the program, there was a provider in a rural area of the Northwest who was very new to HIV care. And this provider was faced with a new patient to their clinic who had very uncontrolled HIV. Plus, this was a woman who was pregnant. So it was a very high risk of transmitting the baby. And she had a number of other chronic medical issues and mental health issues and drug addiction issues. So this provider was able to log on to the Echo sessions, and every month during the patient's pregnancy was able to get advice from a multidisciplinary panel from infectious disease experts, psychiatrists, case managers, social workers, and advice from her peers who had also seen similar things. And over the course of that pregnancy, she was able to help this patient get control of the HIV, prevent transmission to the baby. And the other thing that I think is just really powerful is during the course of that, she developed a whole birth plan for how to care for a pregnant woman with HIV. And now she has shared that birth plan. And when another provider like Dr. Vega has a pregnant patient, we can pass that resource and knowledge forward and share that birth plan with the other providers. So that was just an example of how connecting everybody to provide support and to disseminate knowledge has been really useful. The other example that comes to my mind is during a recent measles outbreak, we were getting a lot of questions from providers about, hey, what do you do about this in your clinic? How do you screen patients? How do you isolate patients? So we convened sort of a special Echo session, brought all the Echo providers together in real time via video to talk together about what is the nature of the measles outbreak. And then we asked everybody to share what they were doing in their clinic to help screen patients, isolate patients, test for measles, and everybody shared that knowledge, and it helped everybody develop protocols for their own clinic and just made sure everybody was on the same page and doing their same thing related to the measles outbreak. So it's a way to quickly disseminate knowledge, even in the setting of an outbreak or a new problem like that.
How does this ultimately benefit patients, some of whom who are listening and wondering how this would work for them?
Yeah, I'll mention one thing and then maybe we can get Dr. Vega's thoughts as well. But so I think what it is it's trying to raise the bar for care quality across a very broad geographic region so that the quality of care that patients are receiving is at a very high standard no matter where they're showing up for care, even if it's in a rural area, even if it's in a very isolated situation where those doctors haven't had as much access to continuing education.
Yeah, I agree. I think that medicine has become, the knowledge in medicine has just exploded exponentially, especially with the internet and all the research that's going on. There's just no way that one doctor can know every single thing about every specialty in medicine. And so the echo that Dr. Wood is helping facilitate really gives my patients an opportunity to really receive what's standard of care and what's really the most cutting edge.
And I think sometimes if a provider has a question about a patient, who has a complex chronic condition, and they can turn to our panel and ask a question and get some advice and feel supported, they may not need to refer that patient out to the Academic Medical Center or out to Anchorage or Seattle. And in that way, we think it may decrease some of the barriers to care. I think for a lot of patients who live in more rural areas, it is tough to travel to Anchorage regularly or travel to Seattle regularly, and there's cost and there's time, and it takes time to get into the specialist, get that advice for the specialist. So we don't think what we're doing eliminates the need for those specialty referrals at all, but we think it helps support the providers. It may help decrease the need for that sum and thereby decrease costs of care as well.
Is there a precedent for this, Dr. Vega, in Sitka? What have you seen happen so far? And what do you think will be the future of telemedicine of this kind in Southeast?
Yeah, that's a great question, Emily. So there is some precedent. I think that right now, the way we work with some of our consultants in Anchorage through the Alaska Native Hospital there, we do have a form of telemedicine where if I have a patient that has cardiac issues or heart problems, there have been times when I've used a different technology, but I've used similar telemedicine technology to log on with the patient sitting there up by my side and talk to the cardiologist in Anchorage. It's not longitudinal and it's not as formalized and it doesn't have the same design as Echo, but we are going to be using that form of technology and different variations on that a lot more in the future because the cost of healthcare in the United States has exploded. We've come to the realization that it is just not sustainable. We just don't have the money to continue to do things the way we have been doing. So this is just a way of containing costs, but still providing really high quality health care.
Okay. Dr. Brian Wood is the medical director of ECHO and an assistant professor of medicine at the University of Washington. Dr. Egbert Vega works at Southeast Alaska Regional Health Consortium. Some of you may even have him as your family medicine doctor. Thank you so much for coming in today and talking with me.
Thank you for having
us. Thank you, Emily.